Let us pray. We ask our dear Brother Cyril to pray for the Lord's blessings upon our meeting tonight. The Lord will bless his servant, our dear Pastor Tony Gurlal, as well as you minister the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Father. Amen, amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. You may take your seats this evening. I extend a very warm welcome to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that you would, as you come together this evening amidst the bad weather, the Lord will bless your hearts this evening. Amen. We also want to greet the believers across the live streaming from the U.S., the Trinidad, Ghana, Cape Town, Namibia. Because of the bad weather, the streaming can be a bit affected because we're working via satellite. But I trust the Lord will bless them and undertake for them. And especially last night, we had a wonderful time. Those of you that were here, the definition of God. Amen. And so often we want to interpret and understand God through dictionaries and so forth. And we've discovered and reinforced last night that it has to come through a filter, the prophet's filter. And that's the only way we can understand God. Amen. Amen. We believe tonight the Lord's going to bless us and undertake for us in a special way to our dear Pastor Tony Gurulal. We'll all stand together as we sing, "Only Believe, All Things Are Possible," as our dear Pastor will grace the pulpit. Only believe. Only believe. It's my privilege to invite to this pulpit our dear Pastor Tony Gurulal to minister the Word of God.
Father God, we are thankful one more time to come into thy divine presence, recognizing, Lord, that this day was already played out in your mind, We are only fulfilling that which you had already designed and that which you already knew. And you would know our needs. And you know the needs that your children have come here for, the burdens on your servants' hearts, and what we want to accomplish. Therefore, we give you thanks even before it comes to pass. Because, Lord, you said you blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You've already done it. So we want to thank you for it, Father. For the healing that would go forth, for the word that would go forth, and the promise that goes with that word. You said you sent your word to heal them. Not just naturally, Lord, but spiritually, mentally, psychologically. Oh God, and because you are a God of totality. Lord, you are a God who promised in your prophet's word to accept this message for our healing. And we believe it, Father. And we come now, oh God, humbly before thee, approaching you through the name and the work of your Son, and asking your grace upon our lives now as we look to thee. As the song so rightly said, only believe. And yet, Lord, we realize believing is not a human ability. Our believing cannot really do anything for us because faith is a gift. It's not of a human element, oh God. And that's why we're here, Lord. We are here looking for you to give us that which we need that we can believe. Help thou our unbelief. You can help it, Father. Open our eyes of understanding that we might be enlightened and we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Father, we are thankful now that we can even pray in the spirit of your word according to the light of the hour to approach thee, O God. That's just grace to us. The listeners, the hearers, wherever they'll be gathered, grant them such grace is our prayer now. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I greet you in the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And pray that God will open our eyes of understanding tonight. I'd like for a scripture reading to read the book of Ephesians 1 and the 17th verse. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like to start with the 13th verse if you don't mind. That in whom he also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after he believed, he was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believed according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heaven, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world, but also in that which is to come. And had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all things. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask your grace upon our lives now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. I'd like to do a recapping. And before I start the recapping, I'd like to just elaborate a little bit about the scripture reading that we just read, starting with Ephesians 1:13. And if you would notice, Ephesians 1:13 covers seven church ages. It covers seven church ages. It is called the baptism, the age of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice how it's stated. It's stated, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth. The word of truth came in the form of seven church age messengers. They came with the word of truth. Now, let's look at this very carefully. We wanted to see that this word of truth is coming from the throne. There are seven angels that are before the throne. Each one of these angels comes to a star in its day. Now, these stars represents Jesus according to the law and principle of the law of representation and imputation. So the law of representation tells us in John 13 and 20 that he that receive whomsoever I send receive me. To receive Luther, I'm just using Luther, was to receive Jesus Christ. To reject Luther was to reject Jesus Christ. Is that true? Amen. Now, so we are looking here now at the principle here of the law of representation and imputation, that Luther represents Jesus. To accept Luther was to accept Jesus. Now, you have to admit that if Luther represents Jesus, in the day of Luther, you can say that Jesus Christ is come in flesh. He was represented in flesh by Luther. If you were to deny that he has come in flesh, you would be Antichrist. You would be working against it. Is that not what 1 John 4 says? So you're looking here that a present day principle continues for seven church ages. He that received you, received me, and he that received me, received him that sent me. Now, God only provided a place of worship. The prophet of God says, God only placed his name in his son. Is that right? God only placed his name in his son. So you're looking that the God's provided place of worship is in his son. Now you just told me, according to the principle, that Luther represents Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you want to worship, you cannot worship without spirit and truth. And Luther brought spirit and truth for his day. So you could not have worshipped God outside of Luther. God would never have met you outside of Luther. Amen. He would never have spoken to you outside of Luther. Amen. Then Luther represents exactly what Jesus is, that God will not speak to you outside of Christ. Amen. He will not meet with you outside of Christ. And you will not be guarded to God outside of Christ. Amen. That happened in every age. And this is what it means in 1 Thessalonians, they that died in Christ. They that died in Christ is identified in every age with Christ. And that happens for seven church ages. We can go more and say more that Jesus represents the mercy seat. What do you think Luther was doing in his day? You say, well, the mercy seat had blood. That is why Luther was crying, wisdom. You see, I built a house on seven pillars. What was he doing? He was building his house. The house of God is not made up of mortar and brick. We are the house of God. Like the house of David was made up of the seeds and his servants. So you have this principle that was there. Now, this Luther coming under from the anointing of these heavenly angels to the star, they are coming under the cherubims, lion, ox, man, eagle. You have the lion, ox, man, eagle. You have ministering spirits. You have a star that represents the sun. And what does that represent? It's the way back to the tree of life. It's a way back to eternal life. And that's what it says here. It says, after you heard the word, well, you can't believe unless someone preach it to you. Right? How can you trust in something you have not heard? After you heard the word of truth, from who? All right, now let's take one more principle here. You say, is that really Jesus speaking to them? Let's go to the book of Ephesians 4:20. Ephesians 4:20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Wait a minute. This church was started in AD 53. Jesus was already dead, AD 33. So how did he teach them? He taught them because Paul taught them. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. He taught them. They heard him. They've been taught by him. Notice the principle. It carries over into John 13:20. Notice the principle. It's carried for the seven church ages. They've heard the truth. He said, can that be true? Yeah, they received Paul as Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:14. Let's look at it. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, he despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, that's a messenger, even as Christ Jesus. If that's the pattern for the first messenger, that they received them as they received Jesus, then that was Jesus teaching them through Paul. Because we have no ministry except we represent the ministry of the Son of God while he is not here. You believe that? Are you sure you believe that principle? So the seven church age messengers represent Jesus Christ, and these angels coming represent the Holy Spirit or the Father coming to fulfill. So you have the law of representation. The angels, the ministering angel represent God, and the earthly stars represent Jesus. It's only representation until the real thing will happen. You see, until we move from shadows into reality. Okay, one more. You believe this? Amen. All right, let's go to the book of Luke 10:22. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. Well, we know the Son of God, the heavens must retain until the restoration of how many things? All things. He cannot come back down. How is he going to reveal the Father to us? Because this is the age of the unveiling of God. And who preached the unveiling of God? William Branham. Who preached a mighty God unveiled? Is that true? Well then, guess who is representing the Son there? Brother Bill. He is representing the Son in the age where it was promised that the one who is living in that age will reveal the mighty God before us. Will reveal him in his own word, reveal him in his own flesh. And that is why the angel told that prophet, not Paul, not Irenaeus, not Martin, he told him, do not drink, do not smoke, do not defile your body in any way, because when you get older, there is a work. He never told Luther that. He never even told Paul that. Why? Because he had to fulfill this scripture. Notice he tried to drink. Isn't that right? His father said, I've brought up many Branhams, but one of them, Sissy. He said, give me that bottle. Is that true? What happened? Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. He said, and the little girl, she's laughing at him. He said, give me that cigarette. What? Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Did God ever do that for you? You never heard a whoosh. You know if you heard a whoosh whoosh when you're drinking, you had too much. Never did that. He had to fulfill this. Why? He was the clean man in the evening time. Amen. He did not keep himself clean. God kept him clean because there's a work for him to do. In the end time. Let's go back now. So do you believe that William Branham, representing the ministry of the Son of God in the end time, where God promised that he will reveal himself, unveil himself, do you believe that that's the ministry today? Well, then it had not been in Luther day. Luther was a Trinitarian. Wesley was a Trinitarian. Then under this ministry, we would get to know God in such a way that we'll never have known him in any other age. But how come our oneness idea is just like the oneness idea in the oneness church? How come our gospel is so close? Unless there is something there that we have missed. We have had a delusion of it. And this ministry. Now I want to notice again. See if this lines up. Luke 10. 22. Is it 22 or 21? Okay. This is a end time scripture. You say, is that son? That son is William Branham representing Jesus Christ. Or Jesus Christ representing Brother Branham. Okay? Alright? And we have many statements based on, you know, I am representing the Son of God, many quotes he made. But I think you pretty much understand this concept here. If you understand this, you'll understand this. Now watch carefully. I'm going to just take one scripture to show it to you. John 16:13. Now, 16:13. Right there. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. It's going to take 7 church ages before you can bear it. At least with this scripture. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, that comes 7 church ages later. When he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you, notice, not in some truth. But this here is tied with the opening of the seals. And it's tied with the 7th seal. Because what is written is hid. And it's not revealed except in the time of a prophet. So one of the greatest mysteries that was hid, or the hidden things, not the lost things, the hidden things, is the mystery of God. Who God is. Who the Father is. And that's what 10:22 is telling me. Now he says, for he shall not speak of himself, talking about William Branham. He's not talking about, well, William Branham is not talking about himself. He will not speak. He shall not speak of himself, William Branham. But whatsoever he shall hear, that angel is teaching him. Amen. That shall he speak. I say only what the angel said. Isn't that what he said? And he will show you, can I say things that are to be? Can I say it that way? Amen. All right. He shall glorify. He's going to say it's not me, it's Jesus Christ. He's going to take the representation that he is the Son of God representing here. You're looking at a law of representation. Many times the prophet of God will say, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is here to heal you. He's talking about through him, because God healed through his Son. Amen. And if the Son is here, you're looking at God and someone representing that Son.
Amen.
You cannot take revelation and believe in revelation and expect to read something and take it literally. That's not revelation then. It has to be that God is a God of order, and he only does things through laws and principles. And anytime you take information and you don't find a law and principle it's operating by, it is intellect. Amen. Because God operates by laws and principles. Amen. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, what? My ministry. In other words, the ministry of Jesus Christ is reproduced in the end time. Amen. Jesus three poles. Brother Branham three poles. Amen. Jesus spoke. Amen. To storm. He spoke to storms. Is that right? He forgave an adulteress. He forgave the children, the adulterous born girl in his meeting. Amen. He spoke to a woman with a tumor. A woman is a tree. He spoke to his wife, tumor. It dried up. The tree dried up. The life dried up. He did exactly what he did, except this ministry did greater. Because Jesus did not speak anything into creation. He did not speak anything into creation. He always took something to do it. Amen. Is that right? So this scripture, for John 14:12, is a one-man scripture. To identify that John 16:13 has taken of that ministry 2,000 years ago and has brought it back and can do the things that Jesus did that no other man can do and greater than that this one man can do. See, prove it to you. Okay, all right. The things that I do, shall you do also. Some ministers say, brother, that's the church, that's the ministry. No. All right, let's just prove that. Let's say you have a minister, and he says that. He said, brother, you're putting too much on Brother Branham, you know. God put everything upon him. I mean, if God can trust him, why can't I? Amen. If God can trust him, I guess we can too. If God can approve him, who are us to disapprove him? That would be presumptuous to do that. The things that I do, shall he do also? Let's say you take that for everybody. Let's take the greatest ministry outside of Jesus up to this point. Let's take it as Paul. You believe that? Every messenger tries to be like Paul. Did Paul have a first Paul? Can Paul have put his hands on somebody and discern the diseases? Oh, wait a minute. The things Jesus did, Paul didn't do. Was Paul able to discern the thoughts of the heart? You mean the greatest minister outside of Jesus, the things that I do, shall he do also? You mean he couldn't do it? Well then, if he couldn't do it, I don't think a foolish man minister should say anything about that scripture. But I can show you one man. I say one man. The things that I do, shall he singular do also. And greater. Is that one man? So I'm saying that this John 14:12 is John 16:13. Take of mine. And this means it's connected to him representing the Son in the same ministry. Therefore, when William Branham is revealing God, it's like Jesus Christ, the Son, revealing the Father. Amen. And if that be true, let's go now to Ephesians 1:13, all scripture. See, they say, well, it's revealed. Oh, you've got only one way, that's him. Outside of him, there is no unveiling. Okay, so now, the seven church ages, the seven stars in the seven church ages represent, after they come and they preach, they were the comforters. the comforter, because God only comforts the people through his word, and therefore the word came through Luther, so Luther was the comforter for his day. You can't have no Holy Spirit moving in the air. He's got to work through somebody. Amen. You know, right? That's the comforter. The comforter comforting the people. I would not leave you orphans. Is that right? So, he did not leave them orphans. But he came to them in every age and comforted them. Gave them the need. So that means, when they saw one like her, the Son of Man, walking in the midst of the candlestick, he was walking, but it was the comforter that was feeding them and taking care of the needs of the church. Isn't that true? All right, you say, Brother Tony, how can it be in the midst? Because when Paul died in AD 67, 66, 67, anywhere around there, the pillar of fire leaves the earth. Pillar of fire, and incarnates the Lamb on the throne. And AD 96, when John is caught up, he sees only one on the throne, the incarnate God. He remains there for seven church ages and came down for the first time, not with comforters. He came down for the first time himself in 1909, after 2,000 years. He had not been on the earth. That's not my quote. The prophet said the pillar of fire had not been on the earth for 2,000 years, because he doesn't deal outside of a major prophet. And when he descended over the cradle, he was identifying the prophet, because the prophet's eyes was too young to identify him. So we know that the pillar of fire has to come back to anoint his son, to reveal, because he is the only one who knows how he hid himself in his own word. He hid himself in his own word. Amen. He's the only one who knows. I hope you catch where I'm going. So these seven church ages, they received that Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit of promise, if there's a that, there's a this. That Holy Spirit of promise is the gene. That Holy Spirit of promise is the gene. But after seven church ages, it moves from the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the pillar of fire himself. Amen. The return of the pillar of fire himself. You see, you need this pillar of fire, because he is the Spirit of truth, but he is not identified in the Spirit, he is identified as a prophet. Right? So that is why John 16:13, it is speaking of the prophet, but ties him with the Spirit of truth. Again. So after you believe for seven church ages, the seven stars, then he comes on the scene himself. He's waiting for that prophet messenger to come on the scene. Alright, so that is why the seventh church, Ephesians 1:13, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the seven church ages. Which is the earnest, that means it's not the fullness, only the earnest, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Well, the redemption of the purchased possession, the redemption of the purchased possession comes into, well, you could say title deed. Is that right? That cannot come into effect until the opening of the seals, when the book becomes open, unto the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. Watch the next verse. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. You see, the early church did not have it. The Ephesians did not have this. They did not have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That comes in the end time through the pillar of fire by a prophet. Amen. and revelation, in the knowledge of, this is the key word. The key word is what? I've done all of that for one simple reason. What we are trying to tell you is not something we made up. It's something that was promised, that was going to happen. This scripture, Luke 10:22, remained dormant. We could read it all your life, but unless God revealed it to us how it's done through principles and laws, it will remain dead to the rest of the message world. It is only for elect. The Bible has become a new book. It's only for the elect. We all read it. But we'll come to the knowledge of Him. All right. So, when is this supposed to happen in our day? It's happening now. If you go to my notes now, since we are going to have a knowledge of Him, I am going to rehearse just a little bit, because I can't go anywhere further unless I rehearse to you. I'm going to recap. The knowledge of Him comes by a prophet, which is a type of the Son revealing the Father as the only one who knows. All right. So here now is a prophet revealing, giving us a knowledge of Him. Someone said, would you go down there and preach to 30 people when you could be preached the same thing to 10,000? Certainly, I do not make any difference. That don't make any difference, the size. I want to see where it's received. It's the same thing today. In every country, in every state, there are spirits. And these spirits do not operate through lay members. They operate with spiritual wickedness in high places. They don't operate in lay members. Real spiritual wickedness is among ministers. And the older and more mature is the most dangerous. I'm telling you the truth. It might sound, you say, Brother Tony, you know, I'm going to answer one day. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I don't have the luxury of being in one place. We have been to many places. And this is what Brother Branham encountered in Africa. Why he couldn't come in? Spiritual wickedness in high places among the ministers boycotted him, stopped him from coming in. He came in and he couldn't preach. Why? Because of spiritual wickedness in high places. They do not hide in the congregation. You have no ability, you have no power, you have no real influence. So where real wickedness lies is where there is unity. And where that is why the prophet does not like organizations. He does not like ministers' meetings held outside of the order. Ministers' meetings are to be held by a father. Somebody who has fathered ministers, somebody they respect as a father, as an elder, as a major apostle. And then they can discuss, and he can give his insight and help them as father to children. But if you don't have that, all you have is a consolidation of power. And where there's no character, then it becomes satanic. So this becomes the gathering of Psalms 1, the counsel of the ungodly becomes spiritual wickedness in high places. Because ministers' meetings are to be held not where everyone has a different absolute. You have a different apostle, you have a different elder, you have a different... No, because you can never get together. I'm telling you why, because Brother Branham was not allowed to come in. Spiritual wickedness in high places would not. So therefore, he says, I don't make any difference the size. I want to see where it's received. Cast not your pearls before swine. They'll turn and trample them under your feet. Then will turn and rent you. See, but you don't cast your pearls there. And I feel what I say here is not casting pearl before swine. I think it's showing children. It's showing children jewels that belong to them. And I believe the unveiling of God belongs to the elect. I will give you a heart to know me. That I am Jehovah. And you will return to me with a whole heart. That is the promise of Jeremiah 24:7. Is that right? Amen. In the last days they shall know their God. Amen. So the definition by him is, Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our Elohim is one Jehovah. And thou shalt love thy Lord with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. So now I am only speaking to elect. Because elect is the only one that has a gene. And she is the only one can understand and not be confused. So this is the greatest of all subjects. This is what every age wanted to live in. But yet, I'm just going to give you a little paradox. If this is the greatest revelation there is, it has been hid all through the ages. If the greatest is the unveiling of God, to get to know your God, to come to a reality of know. Because if you don't know Him, you don't even know how to pray. Your songs that you write in the church ages will not be relevant for this age. How come the greatest revelation is not preached in any conventions for the last 25 to 30 years? And how come when it is to be preached, where are the ministers? This must be completely false. And if it's so wrong, it's easy to kill the influence of it. But what if it is true? Because Brother Branham says, the ministers who were supposed to know God and was preaching God did not know Him. In other words, you say, I don't understand that. Benny Hinn don't know God, but yet he preaches God. They don't recognize God. They don't know Him. Unrecognized persons of God came and go, and they didn't know Him. And how come only one in a million is going to make it? I'm just asking. Are these foolish questions? Then how? If it's one in a million in Durban. I wonder, did you know that most of the ministers that came out in Exodus didn't make it? They didn't make it. He said, God, having saved the children of Israel out of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them. So I want you to be aware that if you are seed, this is going to be the most important subject in the world for you. The most important subject there is this subject. So I speak, like Paul says in 10:15, I speak as to wise men, not foolish men. Wise men. Judge ye what I say. A prophet is a divine interpreter of the word of God. His interpretation supersedes all commentaries and all dictionaries written by men. All. And then the prophet goes on to say, we have to use his line of direction. He said, he gives us a Hebrew and Greek view of God according to our beloved prophet. So consider what I say, Paul says, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And I pray that's what's going to happen tonight. The mighty God unveiled 1964. The seals are already open. You can make anything a god. But in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, the word used there is Elohim. Elohim means self-existent one. Now, the truth of the fact, the word Elohim, according to the dictionary, does not mean that. Now the question remains, did he make a mistake? Is he ignorant of the word? Or is he a prophet interpreting to us what man cannot do? Is he reteaching us how to think? Because God can hide himself in a dictionary and let man's word and language become corrupt. Follow. In the Old Testament, Genesis 1, in the beginning, the word is used, Elohim. Elohim means self-existing one. What a difference the word Elohim is to our word. Elohim means self-existing one. Now I want to look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, all right? God created the heavens and the earth. So it means that he exists before there was creation. Well, if he exists before creation, is it wrong for him to say he is the self-existing one? God created, it says. He had to be before creation. Well, there was nothing existing before creation. Then he is self-existing. I believe we need to take tough, say the Lord, and not what a dictionary says. We cannot be self-existing. We cannot be almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent. I'm going to erase all of this. I'm going to do this quickly because I did this last night. But guess what? I've got to build it up. So you got to read quickly. I mean, you got to hear quickly. Okay. This self-exist, this God, the true God, is self-existing. Self-existing, and he is omni-all. He's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, and he's omnipotent. I know that the thing is kind of bad, so sorry about that. All right? Okay, so now let's break this down. If he is omniscient, it means he knows all things. He is all wise. It means it is his thoughts is the word, because that's the book of wisdom. So the thoughts of God, it was his thoughts. Created all things because God by wisdom created all things. Is that right? So it is his thoughts. It is he who put names on the book. It's he who put names on the book. Is that right? He is the one that foreknew. He is the one who could predestinate. Is that right? He is the one that designed redemption. He knows all things. If he knows all things, he's all wise. That makes him a righteous judge. He's qualified to judge. And if he is the one that knows all truth, absolute truth, and therefore there is no secrets that he does not know. Therefore, he is the Hebrews 4:12, like we show, 12 and 13. He is the discerner and thoughts of the heart. He is 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Judge nothing until the time till the Lord come, who will bring the hidden things of darkness. Is that right? He is the one who knows what was under the seals. And he revealed to Jesus in Revelation 1:1 the revelation of himself. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus Christ. Is that right? So this is the true God. That's him. He's omnipotent. He is the creator. If he can create, he can sustain. Is that right? If he can create, sustain, that means he can heal. He can restore. That means he is supernatural. And all things are possible. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, because he's omnipotent. He's the healer. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He is the defender of the poor. He is the protector of Israel. And there is none that can do battle with him. is omnipresent because he knows all things, right? And since he knows all things, he is a true witness. Is that right? He is a true witness, and he is ever present with you. You are not never alone. All right. You believe all of this? All right. Well, let's go on. The second thing I want to pick up here, Elohim expresses all of that. We cannot be that. The tree that you make a god out of, a building, it's not self-existent. So right then and now, we know 1 Timothy is talking about him. 1 Timothy 1:17. Just for example. Unto the king. Well, this is the only one, eternal. Anybody else is eternal. It's not a source, it's a product. And he is not a product, he is the source. He is the father of all spirit. James. Unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. That's him. Right? Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So all the benefits, forgiveness, healing. Is that right? Amen. Help in a time of troubles. Amen. What a wisdom, guidance, knowledge, whatever it is, those are his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Is that right? Who healeth? So he's the only healer there is. This is important now. See, you know that. We did it. Okay, I'm going to skip. I'm just going to do one or two more, and I'm going to skip. When God in the Bible, the word Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God. Take the name God in the Hebrew and see what it means. Spell Ella, Ella, Elohim. So in other words, the word El, connected to Elohim, speaks about the strong one. It means omnipotent. But if he created by wisdom, then it implies also that Elohim is the wise one. There was nothing before that. There was no air. There was no star. There was no moisture. There was no atmosphere, no atom, no molecules. It was God, the eternal one. Eternal meaning having no beginning. Can I say this is Melchizedek? Well, look at the names we've got so far. We got Elohim, which is equal to Jehovah, which is equal to Melchizedek. And we call that God. We got that so much, so far from his. Now, in the unveiling of God, the prophet of God, one more time. Seals are already open. Now, if you notice the word, the Greek word, I may have this wrong, but the one I could find, you have to watch the words. The English sometimes double meaning, just like the word they say God. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1. But now the Bible said, in the beginning, Elohim. Now Elohim, the English calls God, but it really wasn't Elohim. Anything can be a God. Be God. To the word God. You can make an idol God. You can make a piano God. You can make anything God. See? In other words, the Greek way of thinking is that God is an object of worship. So you can worship anything, then it becomes a god. But if not, so with the Hebrew. So it goes to the English, you see. But it isn't so in the word Elohim. It means self-existent one. So we only worship the one who is self-existent. If he was not self-existent, we cannot. Abraham called him Elohim. Abraham called him Elohim. So this is the man in Genesis 18. And Abraham called him the judge of all the earth. And the prophet said, that's the one that changed your bodies. Is that right? Amen. And the changing of the body is a type of 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 53. Behold, I show you a mystery. This man holds a mystery of corruption Amen. Putting on incorruption. Is that right? And he is the one who judged Sodom before it's burnt and was able to discern, because he knows all things, what was in Sarah's heart. Isn't that true? That's him. And this is the one, when he looked down to Sodom and he looked back at Abram, Abram saw the picture change and he said, would not the judge of all the earth do right? Then he said, just turn that photo. And you would see, this is the one. Are you sure this is the one? Well, that's the one that is that light there. You see, he's King Theophany. He can be clothed in a pillar of fire and he can be clothed in a cloud. That must be the one that was with Moses. In Jonah 1:9, and he said, I am a Hebrew and I fear Jehovah, the Elohim of heaven. The Elohim of heaven means the creator of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. That's Jonah 1:9. He is telling you, Jehovah Elohim, and that's exactly what the prophet is telling us. Scriptures declare, but Jehovah is the true God. If he is the true God, he is the true God, he is the true God. Right? He is the living God, the everlasting King, King eternal, immortal, invisible. And his wrath, the earth shall tremble. He is the true judge. And watch carefully now. Amen. If he is God, vengeance belongs to him. Yeah, is that what we're getting that, right? That's from the scriptures. The nation should not be able to abide his indignation. In the New Testament it says, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So right here we're running into problems, isn't it? Because the message world do not preach Jesus, the Son of God. They preach Jesus, God. It's almost a shame to say Jesus is the Son of God. They preach Jesus is God. He does all things. Right? So when Jesus, the Son of God, said, I can do nothing, they say, you lie. We know you can do all things. It's a mystery. And we know it. You see? So, they know better than him. Of course, you see. You can't tell them differently. But to us, there is but one God, the Father. So right here, we are looking at the names. There is one true God, true and living God, and Jesus is his Son, and he is one true God, and they call him Father. To be Father means you can never be a father unless you had a son. So if you say he's a father and did not have a son, you make him a liar. He'll be taking a title that he does not have. Is that right? Amen. You would make God a liar. If he does not have a son, he is a liar. He's an imposter. I'm skipping. Everybody understands this. Okay, let's move. I gotta move. Otherwise, I'll be back running. Okay, now, we are looking at Elijah. You believe Elijah? Yes. I'm looking at two portions of scripture. We are looking at Elijah and Moses. Both of them are written in Malachi 4 and 4. And this is written in Malachi 4 and 5. Behold, I send you Elijah. But in the verse before that, it says, remember the law of Moses in Horeb. Is that right? Now, this is important to us, as we will see in a minute. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb. What did Moses get? Moses got the word from the mountain. And it thundered. I can't hear you. You see, coming out... You see, the Exodus is made up like this. Okay, you know the symbol, right? You know the symbol. You know this first line is the day of Pentecost. This line here is AD 53.
Amen.
That's the early church. There's the moon. She was under the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire. No denomination. Then she falls. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Lost truth. The four stages of the Roman bug. Caterpillar, palmer worm. Can never get that in order. But you know it, right? All right, then I will restore. Luther did not restore. Wesley did not restore. Pentecost did not restore. They reformed. So restore is a prophecy.
Amen.
To restore, you need the first six seals open. And you need someone to say, come out of her, my people. And this is the moon now, not in any denomination. What is it here? The Holy Spirit. Well, she's right back here. Is that right? But here she does not have Mark 11:23. She does not have manifested sons of God. She does not have perfect faith here. So you don't have it here. So in the Exodus, it takes for us the opening of the first four seals for the Gentiles now to say, come out of her. Amen. That's not our message. After you come out, the prophet of God said the bride is caught up in the mystery of the seventh seal.
Amen.
So there is a mystery that she's caught up in. It means the others have done its job. If you have a ministry that is preaching red horse rider, black horse rider, Antichrist, twin, you know, the denomination is of the devil, they are the harlot, the man of sin is 666. He's not caught up, because the only reason that is exposed is for you to come out. But after you come out, you can't come out anymore. You can preach how much you want of the man of sin, the Antichrist, the mother, the harlot, the worship of statues. You know, you can do anything you want. It will not create any more faith. That is only to bring you out. And to teach you to look at characteristics of spirit. Because spirit is only known by characteristics. That's it. You can preach all you want. You'll never create rapture in faith. Rapture in faith lays under the seven seas, which has seven thunders. And that, the greatest of that, if you do not catch the opening of the word, to catch the unveiling, to come to the knowledge of the Godhead revelation, all your other doctrines will be wrong. All of it. Starting with your new birth. See? Because you cannot be birthed and not know your God. I can't hear you. You cannot be birthed and not know your God. You see, the problem, well, I don't know if I should go there, but I like to tell the truth, but sometimes, you know, the truth makes enemies. Have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? I need to tell some of the brothers in Durban, you know, why do you seek to kill me, a man who told you the truth? Listen carefully. Truth is a dangerous business. Religion is a safe business. But truth is a dangerous business, brother. I see a little flock. That's a good sign. Oh, that's a good sign, you know. Because you see, this Godhead comes from under the seventh seal where it thundered. And the last time man it thundered, the priest was shaking and hiding. Oh, well, I wonder where they are tonight. You see, because when it thundered, hey, they say, hey, it's about the same, you know. This is a seven seal mystery, brother. They come from, the bride is caught up in that mystery, and she is able, a good pastor, a good minister, is able to tell his people how to judge a ministry, whether it is caught up under the seventh seal or he's still under those first four seals, but they're still trying to come out of her, come out of her. If I preach whitewash right to you, man of sin, harlot, the mother harlot, Jezebel. If I go back and take all the types of Jezebel in the Bible, all the type of William Branham in the Bible, all the type of bride in the Bible, all the type of characters like Joshua and Gideon and Elijah and Moses. And after I prove to you Elijah is true and his ministry is for this day, how much more type? What can they do for me? This is a type of the bride. This is a type of the foolish virgin. This is a type of Jezebel. This is a type of the man of sin. After that, what can I do? What more faith can you get? You've got to be caught up under this. Because this first six seals restore the lost things. Oh, this is a knife marker. But this seventh seal is the hidden things. And this is 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 8. Amen. The hidden wisdom which God ordained to your glory. That's you. They prophesied of you. Because the seventh church ages didn't have this hidden. So there are two things here. Moses and Elijah written in the book of Malachi 4 was not by accident. Because you notice Elijah, what did he come against? Baal. And its priests. What did Moses, people, when they came out of the Exodus, where did they go? To the golden calf. Which is Baal. And to Baal Peor. You think we could beat our type? We cannot beat our type. And do you know, it was very few in the Exodus class that made it. Jesus said they're everyone dead. The first generation hardly made it. They say that's rude. I can't beat my type. The reflection of a thin man doesn't reflect like an elephant. It reflects like a thin man. Follow again. No, sir, I'm not oneness. I'm not at all. I'm not a Trinity either. So Elijah was against oneness and Trinity. Well, we don't have to worry about Trinity. We're against that too. Even the oneness is against it. Now somebody says, Brother Branham is a oneness. Now remember, when I say Brother Branham, you must say Elijah. Now somebody say Elijah is a oneness. No, sir, I am not a Baal worshipper. Isn't that true? I am not a Baal worshipper. I do not believe Jesus could be his own father. I believe that Jesus had a father and that was God. Amen. This Jesus has a beginning then. If he's got a beginning, you know, I don't care how you technically put it. When he was brought forth in the beginning, he was not created. You can't create eternal life. He was birthed or begotten. Amen. It's when he came into, when God clothed him in flesh, when the soul came to the body, you can say he's a created being. But in the beginning, he could not be. Follow again. So now let's just break that down. I'm going to break that down. Because my whole message is based upon this. Coming out is not seven seal. The Exodus class is not seven seal. He called them out, then he took them to the mountain where it thundered. That's the real message. You see? All right. There's the Father. And he said that was God. He had a Father and it was God. And Jesus could not be his own father. And if he's calling him father, this must be the son. All sons have beginning. Now, the oneness people say, it's one like your finger, that he and him is the same being that's playing roles. Is that right? So, Brother Branham taught us that God is a God of order. and that the natural types is spiritual. If you can show me anywhere in any universe where a father can be his own son, I'll believe it. A natural type of spirit. You show me, unless God breaks his own nature. He wants a family. And if he makes a family outside of the way we produce through seed, then the natural don't type the spiritual. You get where I'm going? Tell me where a son could ever be his own father. Well, then definitely Brother Branham is thinking this is Baal. This is Elijah saying it's one like this is Baal. Now let's take a look. They say Jesus is God, right? And Brother Branham said the Father is God. How many gods does the oneness have? I'm destroying oneness, you see. All right. How many of you Trinitarian people got that mixed up? How many people got that mixed up of him being one like your finger? The both of them got it mixed up. That's right. He is the one God like your finger. How could he be his own father? If this Jesus can be one God like your finger, if this Jesus could be one God like your finger, he said he couldn't do it. All right. So let us look at the true oneness. So we know there are different kinds of one and oneness. Let us look at the biblical oneness from the prophet's own words. I and my Father are one, but not numerically one like your finger, or else what would that would be a oneness lie. So in John 10:30, where it says, I and my Father are one, I and my Father are one. If you make that one equal to number one, you will be believing a lie of the devil. A oneness lie. So Brother Branham is interpreting now. Now it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible said so. But the only begotten of the Father has declared him. Philip was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. Says here, he said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. When you see the Father, you see me. Now watch what I want to show. You see these two lines? Two different people are speaking. The first line was the Father. The second line was the Son. You see, they couldn't tell when the Father spoke and the Son spoke. I have been with you so long. How? Healing my Son. I did the miracles. I did the, and he kept telling me, it's not me, it's my Father. Right? Amen. But when you see me, you see the Father. Amen. In other words, you see the Father expressing himself through the Son. Amen. Him and the Father were one. He's interpreting. Amen. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him. Amen. So there is a oneness that comes through incarnation. See, there's a oneness that comes by incarnation. That is why a woman tells Brother Branham, oh, Brother Branham, I know what that oneness is. It's like my husband and I, husband and wife. Bob said, no. When you see me, do you see your husband? No. Your husband is in you? No. Are you in your husband? No. No. Father expressed in him, the Father, him and the Father were one in a sense that his Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works. He was a son himself. The immortal virgin born Son of God. Amen. Then in him was dwelling God the Father, expressing himself to the world. His attitude towards the people. Well, that's how Christ and God were one. Not like your finger is one. Hey, you know, it might be that you are the elect in Durban. Wow, God is already separating. My. When you see me, and as he goes on to say now, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, he said, when you see me, you see the Father. Why do you say, show us the Father? Lord, not like husband and wife. See, she's not incarnate. Now, he's going to continue. Let's see. One, two is a witness. Thomas said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. It'll satisfy us. He said, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. Said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why say, show us the Father? Now, the oneness took it. What does oneness believe? One like your finger, right? The oneness took it. The oneness group of people. And tried to make Father, Son, Holy Ghost one office, one place, and one like your finger, one. That's wrong. Could not. Jesus could not have been his own father. Well, how can he have been his own father? So right then and there, when you misinterpret John 10:30, and my Father one, and make it like this, right there you are perverted. And guess what? Eve died for less than that. I and my Father are one. So let's put all the scriptures together. I and my Father are one. And John 17:11. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Wait a minute. If you make the Father and Son one like your finger, and then we will be made one, I guess you could make us and God one too. Well, then this wouldn't fit here, would it? It wouldn't fit there, would it? 22nd verse. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Alright? They might be one. One. That they are one. That they may be one, thou Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. And Brother Branham said the only way that God could be one with his family, Adam and Eve, is because they had the same nature. So if you've got the same nature, you're going to like the same thing. If you're a dove, you're going to like grain. If you're a crow, you're going to like both. Dead and living. Right? See, your nature. And that is how they can be one with God. It is the nature. So Zoe can fellowship with Zoe. And that is how you can be one. You will not misunderstand. You got a seed. Jeremiah 32:8. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them how many hearts? One heart. What is a heart? As a man thinketh in his heart. They'll all think the same. They'll all believe the same. They'll understand the same because they've got the same nature. And one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and the children after them. John. And if he had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, had declared him. Now, I want you to watch this carefully. If you have an object, and that object is reflected in an express image, aren't you seeing exactly what the object is? They were seeing the Father. They were seeing the Father, but it was seen through the mirror of his Son. So Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. You see, when you say you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have faith in the Son of God, you're having faith in the one that sent him. And that is your first commandment. You're having no other God outside of him. But if you make the Son God, then you're having faith in a creation and not a creator. You see? He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that's... And he that seeth me. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Larry. I'm not supposed to be moving outside this channel. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. He that hated me, hated my Father also, because my action is my Father's. And if I do not among them the works which no other man did... They have had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now, the dove abode in the Lamb. They stayed there. He was Emmanuel. God was in his tabernacle. The Son of God, which was Jesus, was the flesh of God. A tabernacle that God dwelt in here on the earth. Now, that was Christ and God becoming united. That's the way God could be seen. No man had seen God at any time, but the only begotten has declared him. See, in other words, God was in Christ showing his attitude towards the people. What he was, what God was. He was expressing himself through Jesus, his son. And as he dwelt in him, making Jesus and God, Jesus being the tabernacle and God was his dwelling in there on earth. A body has God prepared me, a specially designed body to reflect God in a way that Moses couldn't do it. Joseph couldn't do it. And God dwelt in Jesus Christ. And that made Father and Son united together and now and become one. Become one. They are not one like your finger. When this veil was took off the words, the tradition is taken off. As Jesus once said, when you see me, you see the Father. And God and his word is one. Now you understand? And when he went on to say, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works, I and my Father are one. When you see me, you have seen the Father. And when you see the word manifest, you see the Father, God. Because the word is the Father, the word is God. Amen. The Son is the living word, express word, manifest word. But the Father is the invisible word waiting to come to the prophets.
Amen.
Jesus prayed that we will all be one. Then he said, how can two walk together lest they agree? He said, one like he and the Father was one. And the Father was the Word, and he was the Word made manifest.
Amen.
So if you got the wrong Jesus to be the Word, which is God, you just kill the whole thing. He was the Word made manifest. He was one with the Father because he was a manifestation of God's promised word. Notice, he was one with the Father. So is it today or any other day that God is one? He wants us to be one. Identified now. Oh God, he was so much in the image of God till him and God became one. He was so much in the image of God until him and God became one, or he became equal with God. Because the image and the object must be equal. I and my Father are one. Oh my, what a living that was. For God to so live in him that his whole life was wrapped in God, no wonder it was a masterpiece. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. You see the word character, express image, the instrument used for engraving or carving, a mark stamped upon an instrument, or wrote out, hence a mark or a figure burned in, or stamped on, impression, an exact expression, image of a person, thing, mark likeness, precise reproduction in every respect, a facsimile, a copying machine, copying. Now Jesus was made like unto him. That's the reason there's a difference between God and Jesus. Jesus had a beginning. God had no beginning. I'm gonna have to close this up. Let me see if I need it. The World Council of Churches forming together make us all one. I wonder they realize that's exactly what the scripture said. But they think it's the most wonderful thing in the world. All of us can join hands and be one. Jesus prayed that we might be one. That's true. But not that kind of one. He said, be one as I and my Father one. Yea, be that kind of one. Then how will that be? The word in us would be the anointed word. That is the oneness of God. And that word cannot be in you unless the gene is in you. You have to have the nature, you see. The oneness of God is the word anointed in you. And then you become a son, Messiah of the age. I'm going to quit those. The message and the messenger are one. That is why they become God. And so on. Reflecting God in his own body. No man has seen God. Okay, let's close. You see the oneness now, right? All right. So now we are going to look at this. That he was not his own father. He destroys the Trinity and the oneness in this quote. He said, now how many oneness got that mixed up? That's right. He is one God like your finger. How could he be his own father? So he's destroying it. He said he cannot be his own father. Therefore, oneness is wrong. Then he's going to destroy the Trinity by saying, and if he had another father outside of the Holy Ghost, and if God is a man, a person, then the Holy Spirit was his father and God is his father. Matthew 1. So then he was an illegitimate born. In other words, They interpret Father, Son, Holy Ghost as one person, two person, three person. He said, if this is the Son, and this is a person, and this is a person, Jesus said God was his Father, and the Bible said the Holy Ghost conceived him. He said a man cannot have two fathers, therefore the Trinity is wrong. He destroys that, right? All right. I know you're saying, Brother Tony, when are you going to get to this new ground? All right. Right here now, you see he's a created being. Jesus, the Lord Jesus himself, was a tabernacle in which God dwelt in. Manifest himself, because he was a spirit. He was a spirit. Now, Jesus wasn't eternal. God's eternal. One more. Anything that has a beginning has an end, because anything that had a beginning is a creation. But God was not created. He was always God. So this Father is eternal. All right? He's eternal. God is not created. He was always God. There is no place. He was created. It's the Holy Ghost, the Creator himself, God the Father in the form of a spirit, called Holy Spirit, because it was upon the body called Jesus, his Son, that he created Jesus, the body. That's the reason he had to die. Now, if this Jesus has a beginning, he is a creation. And if you worship the creation above the Creator, you're a Baal worshipper. Because Baal worship is a worship of creation. You see, that was Jehovah and Allah. Jehovah was manifest or tabernacle in his Son, which was the creative Son, Jesus. Hebrews series, the difference between Jesus, God and Jesus. Jesus had a beginning, God had no beginning. Melchizedek had no beginning, Jesus had beginning. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God. Do you believe this is the truth? They had to change the truth of what we said here. They had to change the meaning of these quotes. Who changed the truth of God into life and worship and serve the creature. I'll ask you, isn't the Son of God a creation? More than the Creator. Who's the Creator? So what is the oneness in the message? They are Baal worshippers, and the men who preach it are Baal priests. Because they have to be an Elijah type. The prophet of God interprets it this way. He said, in the Pygmalion churches, not only was ancestral worship originated in Babylon, but so also was the worship of nature. Nature is creation. That is why it's dangerous to be a oneness. They twist what they did take out of the Bible by changing its meaning. When Elijah then come for a showdown, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. Couldn't that be a wonderful day? That is why Brother Branham can take all the oneness and Trinity, and his true and living God can outshine them. Because he was not a oneness or a Trinity. Philadelphian age. To believe the devil's lie, which I believe oneness is to serve Satan. Even though you may want to call him Jehovah, but the elect will not be deceived. And the Father and Son. Today we've got a Bible wrote here, but he wrote it in the heavens that man can look up and realize that Jehovah the Creator lived above. And then he goes on to show you how he's created, and he said, now we've got two now. The Father, and out of the Father came the light, the Son. Did the prophet believe in Father and Son? Yes. What is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? He said then in questions and answers, and then he asked a question now. Let us, who, Father and Son, make man? Again, questions and answers. Let us make man in our image. Of course, we realize he's talking to someone. He's speaking to another being. There's only one God, and I defend this great organization that called oneness like your finger is wrong. He said that's wrong. Father and Son, no man... No, call no man your father on earth, for one is your father in heaven. He himself said, pray our father. Then he said, look, Jesus come to manifest the father. They wanted to kill him because he said also that God was his father. John 20:17, Jesus said unto him, touch me not, for I am not ascended to my father. But go unto my brethren, he's the firstborn of many brethren. And say unto them, I send unto my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Why should, if it was good enough for Jesus to pray to his Father God, why can't I pray to the Father God without having people being upset? Why can't I pray? Is it okay to pray the way Jesus prayed? Are you sure? I think we should be able to do what he did, to be Christians. Paul said, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Paul said, but to us there is but one God the Father, of whom are all things. He said, the head of Christ is God. All right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. While he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and a voice said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is a long recapping, I tell you. God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't want you to miss it. Grace and peace unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Amen. Muhammad, this is, look, you said, Brother Tony, what do you really believe? We believe in one God who had a son. Amen. And the son is God by revelation, but he is not God in himself like that. He's God by incarnation, he's God by reflection, he's God by expression, he's God by species, he's God by blood, he's God by... You can name God by many things, but he is not God himself. And Brother Bram expresses it this way. We know that we believe in the same God, we do, but we believe that Muhammad was his prophet. We believe there's one true and living God and Jesus is his son. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's almost a shame to say that in message churches. Every morning that great bong rings out there in the priest. There's one true and living God. That's right. And Muhammad is his prophet. We believe there's one true and living God and Jesus is his son. Or is Brother Abraham lying or is this true? There is one true and living God and Muhammad is his prophet. We say there is one true and living God and Jesus is his son. I give you three witnesses. I've got about 10 of them. And the Muhammadan today believes in one true God. And they say there is one true and living God and Muhammad is the prophet. We say there is one true and living God and Jesus is his son. That's the difference. Alright, now we come down to the quotes here. Look, when he was here on earth, how many knows that was a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness? It was Christ, the angel of the covenant. All right, how many know that was Jesus, in Jesus, that same spirit? So now we come to find out that the Son name is Jesus and the Father name is Jesus too. Did we know that in denomination?
No.
Did we know that in the Oneness Message Church?
No.
Did you know that around the elect bride? You say, Brother Tony, I never heard that. That's because it was under the seventh seal. Jesus in Jesus. Now, brother friends, I want you to notice. You see this message here, Jesus, so we would see Jesus? Cross my heart and promise. I didn't write that in there. I did not type it in there. Neither did I transcribe it. I just copied and pasted. But Tracy, I didn't put that there. I don't think I should be held accountable for that. Isn't that right? You think I'm able to repeat this? Should I quote this back? You sure? So there are two Jesuses. One of them has no beginning. One has a beginning. Beginning is a son. This is the source. This is the product.
Amen.
All right? Sons inherit names. All right? So there is Jesus. On one side we have Melchizedek, no beginning. He's called the Logos, the Word, the Pillar of Fire, the Father, Source of Life, Holy Ghost, Christ, Anointer, God, Elohim, Angel of the Covenant. On the other side, we have Son, created, has beginning, man, human, triune being, body, flesh, veiled, house, tent, tabernacle, Christ, Anointed One. He's called Logos, or Word, Manifest, or Express, Living Word, or Prophet. He's called the Image. Now, there's no way to answer this question except for Brother Bill. Paul knew it, but he couldn't preach it. So this is the answer, the prophetic answer to Proverbs 30 and 4. The question is asked, what is his name and what is his son's name? If thou can tell. Can you tell now? God shows in place of worship. Now we find out that Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and we receive me not. Then the name of the Father must be Jesus. Amen. That's right, the name of the Father is Jesus. I carry my Father's name. Position in Christ. God had only one name, and his name is Jesus. Hebrews 1:4, being made so much better than the angel, as by inheritance he obtained the more excellent name. So the Son inherits his name. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So the family is named after him. That is why he's a part of the family, isn't he? Well, he took his name. He's quoting, a pillar of fire in the temple of my, a pillar in the temple of my God. I will write upon him the name of my God. What is the name of God? Jesus. Now we know he is not God. So what is the name of my God? Jesus. Again. If you want to jot that down, we're getting late. Jesus, Ephesians 3:15. In heaven and earth his name is? Well, he doesn't bow your knees to the Father. Ephesians 3:15. It says, I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom the whole heaven and earth is named. The name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which comes out of heaven. Oh, I'll put on him. Oh, you see, it's all the same name. You should already call that. The new church and the Gentile church, the bride is a Gentile, and the Gentile has his name. He took out a people out of the Gentiles for his namesake. Do you believe that? Quotes Acts 15:14. And after they had held their peace, James answered him, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon had declared how God, not the Son, had first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Amen. Not the Son now, his name. He said, prove it to me. God took Eve out of Adam. Amen. Adam did not take Eve out of him. And I write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. We find out where did God put his name. Where did he put his name? In his Son. Or you say, Brother Branham, wait a minute, that was his Son, not the Father. The Son always takes his Father's name. In every case, I come to this earth in the name of Branham because my Father's name was Branham. Philippians 2:9, he has given a name which is above every name. Who gave him the name? God. The angel gave him the name. But who told Paul Jehovah's name? Jehovah himself. Colossians 1. If the Bible said, Colossians 1:15, we worship an invisible God. God is invisible. Do you believe that? Then the person coming around here with nail prints and smoke and blood and everything else, I don't make him God. We worship an invisible God. Now, isn't this the true God we worship? The one up here is the true God? Didn't know Jesus say, worship my Father? The Father seek to worship him in spirit and truth? John 4:24-26. The Father seeketh them to worship him in spirit and truth. Then that's the one true God we worship, the invisible one. All right, the pillar of fire that Moses saw was not the invisible God. The pillar of fire was the Shekinah that represented that the invisible God was at hand. When John baptized Jesus, the Son of God, wait a minute, there's a Jesus who is the Son of God. And he is visible. Is that right? The invisible God came sailing down, a light shaped like a dove, through the air, the invisible God identified. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, the invisible Jesus Christ. Who's that? Who's that? He's the visible Jesus. Who is the invisible? That's how Paul knew that this one, the Father, was Jehovah in the old. And now he called himself Jesus. So therefore the Son had to inherit the name. That's what Paul wrote in Hebrews 1 and 4. The invisible Jesus Christ identified himself to Paul in a form of Shekinah glory, a light that put others in his eyes. The same Shekinah glory is here tonight. So who's that? Over the prophet head. The invisible Jesus Christ. Who is that cloud there? Who hid him there? Invisible Jesus Christ. Amen. Who can discern the thoughts of the heart? The invisible. This, now he said, I can do nothing.
Yeah,
right? Amen. He said, confirming his word, it represented the invisible God, confirming his word, the same signs that he. So now we get two things here. Right here, Paul is saying, and the prophet is interpreting, this Jesus is Hebrews 13:8. Because he is Malachi 2 and 6. I am God and I change not. Isn't that what? He is the same because he was the one that was in Moses, he said. The invisible Jesus was in Moses. Then that's the one Paul saw. Right? That is the one that came on Jesus' baptism. I read the quote. He came sailing down at Jesus' baptism. Is that right? Okay, so then who's the one with Brother Bill? He was the one with Abraham. Is that right? Okay, so you're looking here now. Hebrews 13:8 is saying, if you make Hebrews 13:8 him, he has a beginning. The only one who could be the same is the unchanging God, who is the I Am. So this Jesus is not the I Am. How can the I Am have a beginning? Water baptism. I'm very pleased to dwell in this one. Dwell, that means to occupy in the house, to live. In him dwell the fullness of the Godhead, says the Bible. That's right. The visible image of the invisible God. He is the visible image. He is the invisible God. All right, expectation. Then we see the scriptures that God, after dwelling in Christ, had returned back by the name of Jesus in the same light in the beginning. Investment, when Paul or Saul recognized that God comer, Jehovah comer, the pillar of fire, that could never be him. The pillar of fire, the altar and heart, called himself Jesus. He took out a policy, he was ready for it then. Amen? So is this Jesus and Jesus quote right? All right? Now, if the oneness wants, you have Jesus here. Who is coming down here? Jesus, him too? He anoints himself? Does he anoint himself?
No.
Well, that is what you will have to end up with a conclusion if you're like that. Right? Now, this becomes Antichrist. Let's go to 1 John 2:22. I want to get that out of the way. If you deny Father and Son and believe in one like your finger. See, right now they're trying to find a way how to use language in the message to what we expose for them to hide now. See, they're going to have to change their language a little bit because now they're, see... Who is a liar? So, oneness Baal worshippers are liars. You say, but Tony, that's not a good word to use. They said, the Bible just said that. And then Paul said it too. Who is a liar but he that denied that Jesus is the Christ? To be the Christ, you need the Son, the man, and you need the pillar of fire to anoint him. This is the Father. This is the Son. If you he is Antichrist that denied the Father and the Son. You say, they're good men, they're in the message, they're preaching for a long time. Oh, I have nothing to do with it. So did Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was there a long time. See, my Father and Son. Okay, I'm going to give you one more. It just come to me, I give it to you. 2 John 1, 6 to 9. Well, I don't know about you, Brother Louis, but I'm going to preach and leave here. You can out the fires. Yeah, we just love you. We're going to leave. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandments that we have heard from the beginning that we should walk in. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in flesh. This is deceiver and antichrist. Now, I showed you how all through the ages, and this is Gnosticism, by the way, right? Look to yourself that we lose none of those things which we have wrought, what we have received. Now, watch carefully. You say, Brother Tony, I have never heard this preach. Well, that's not my fault. That is your pastor's fault.
Exactly.
You see, that is your pastor's fault. You say, well, he doesn't know. Then he should get apostles. Get teachers in. Get apostles. You see? That is not our fault. Watch what I want to show you. You are grown up. I talk to my people like they are grown ups. I don't treat them like children. Or how can I do it in an age of maturity? You can't be naive. You sit there like you can't judge anything. You are sovereign. The pastor is not. You could vote him out if he doesn't feed you. If you're paying your tithing and you're not being fed, you've got the power. Go somewhere where you're fed. Cast your vote for Christ. Don't sit there and die. See, you're not going to take a rapture by dying there. You can't do it. This is where it is. Pastors, evangelists, the pastors and evangelists, the pastors like evangelists, evangelists like pastors, to come and preach for them. Because when pastors and evangelists come, he has a pastor's heart. He wants to see the pastor's way. And the evangelist, he's got to come back and preach, so he wants the pastor's approval. When the evangelists come, the evangelist is teaching. You are in the hot seat. Your life, your tithing, your attitude, your behavior, your backsliding, your sin, your this. And as long as you're under fire, I can sit back here if I'm the pastor and I can say, phew, that's true, that's true, that's true. My, he hit that spot just right. But when an apostle and a teacher come in, you are not the problem. He's teaching and you're looking at the pastor. I never heard that. Why wouldn't you hear that before? Is that must be wrong. Pastor. And the pastor is, when is he going to quit? That's why the church is dying. Because the only way you can be grounded and rooted is by teaching. Amen. Otherwise, you'll be a weakling all your life. While I'm in it, I'm already in it. I might as well say it. You say, Brother Tony, why did we not hear this? Look at this very carefully. The doctrines of Christ are broken into Alpha and Omega. The first part of Alpha is the principle. I'm not going to Son of Man to Son of Man. I'm going from church to church also. There's an Alpha church and Omega church. Amen. The Alpha church is Hebrews 6. Leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, which is laying on of hands, water baptism, eternal. See? Or leaving the principle. Let's go on to maturity. Amen. Well, they fell before they moved on. Then these are the principles. What are the principles? The death, burial, resurrection. The gifts and the blessings. Is that right? In the church. But the Omega church, they are not into the principles of the doctrine. They're into the maturity. Right? They don't want gifts and blessings. They want position. An authority. Yeah. Right? They've got to know who they are. And the only way they know who they are, they have to look at the image. So that has to come back. What you said before you, that's what you become. Yeah. Alright, now watch what happens here. Whosoever transgressed and abided not in the doctrine of Christ had not God. Now what's the doctrine of Christ today? The unveiling of God. Amen. That's the doctrine. Right? Had not God. He that abided in the doctrine of Christ had both Father and Son. You've got the gene and you've got the Word. Amen. Because there's anything you can't get is the Spirit and the Word. And you cannot get the Spirit unless you have faith in the Word. Then He promised to give you the Holy Ghost. Now watch care. You say, but Tony, I never heard it. This word transgress it is misleading. Open it up in the Greek. It means to go by the side of, to go past over without touching it. To overstep. That's why they will overstep the deep things. They'll overstep Godhead appearing and coming. Amen. They will not touch these things. They are in transgression, but yet you don't know they're in transgressions. And when you don't preach the revealed word of the hour, you make the word of God of no effect. Because it can't take effect in the people. Therefore, it is called religious sin of the highest order and of the greatest deception. And it's only guilty by the ministry. I intend not to be a cloak for evil. Doctors protect doctors, lawyers protect lawyers, and preachers want to protect preachers. But that is not God's way. God's way is judge both the top and the bottom. We all must line up with it. And if you're going to get the people right, you've got to get the heads right. Let's go. Amen. I think we're going to have some house meetings. They might close the church down. This 12-year-old boy, knowing nothing, but just a 12-year-old boy, knowing that I must be about my father's business, see the word correcting the error? He's a prophet. That means he's a prophet. The word come to him. This my little, you see, he doesn't have any wisdom, but the word come to him, he just speak it. He doesn't know what he's saying, just like Isaiah didn't know what he prophesied. But the come to him, he speak it. This is a boy, 12-year-old, no wisdom at all. Why? Just 12-year-old boy. The father didn't dwell in him at that time. Because he come on the day when he was baptized, the Spirit of God coming. I asked the question then, you know, can he anoint himself? That's father and son. To deny that is Antichrist. To make all kind of excuses. Oh no, he's just playing a role and he's playing a role. Amen. There is a son. There is a father and they are two distinct. But one God. So now, you have Jesus and Jesus. Which Jesus was in David? Which Jesus was in Elijah? Thank you, brother. But if you only have one Jesus, you just pervert the message. God in sundry times spake unto the fathers. Had to be this one. Because this is the one speaking his son. He cannot change. Who is the Jesus that comes in three sons' name? Son of man, son of God, son of David. Which one? This one? But he's not here today. So how can he be son of man? He's in the heavens. The heavens must retain him. Amen. This is the Jesus that come in three sons' name. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Amen. Now, let's say you did not know this. You only know one Jesus. Let's just say that. Okay? Now, let's read this quote and see if we can get anywhere with it. And the pillar of fire, the angel was the angel of the covenant. I believe all ministers would agree that that was the angel of the covenant. It was the angel of the covenant. It was the Lord Jesus. Let's say you did not know there was another Jesus. That was the Lord Jesus. It was God, the Holy Spirit. Then if you only had one Jesus, you will make this one Jesus, the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and God, the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? But now you know which Jesus is God, the Lord, the angel of the covenant, King Theophany. You see how you pervert that message just by not knowing? Let's do another one. Let's say you're reading. Let's say you don't know this, so you're going to read. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you, without Godhead, you cannot read Brother Branham's message. Let's take another one, proving his word. He promised these things would happen in the last days. The same Son of Man will be made manifest. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there. Now that's going to confuse you. Because you're going to say, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then you'll say to yourself, it's a great mystery, he can do anything. Now that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born. So it's not him. He has a beginning, but it was him who had no beginning. You would have perverted that quote too. Let's see another one. I just watch for his signs. How many knows that Jesus today is a pillar of fire? Well, then, of course, from the minute you hear that, if you only know one Jesus, oh, that's the pillar of fire. That's the angel of the covenant. If you have only one Jesus, friends, you know, the whole problem is now, is the one Jesus. You say, you all believe in two Jesus? Well, I probably say yes. In fact, I say, I believe in three Jesus. And since I met you, I believe in four, because one of them is Baal. The Jesus, listen carefully. Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. This one. Listen, but listen to this carefully. The Baal of the old is another Jesus of the new. You get that? The Baal of the old is another Jesus of the new. If you've got the wrong Jesus, you're a Baal worshiper. That's how it works. Jesus today is a pillar of fire, follow the children of Israel. I came from God, I go to God. Is that what he said? When Paul met him on the road to Damascus, what was he? The great pillar of fire. He's the same one, the Holy Spirit of God. The body Jesus, now there's where it is. The Jesus, the pillar of fire, and Jesus, the body, the man. At the right hand of God in his throne, but his spirit is here, completing and finishing his work. That same spirit that lived in the body of Jesus Christ was the same spirit that was in the angel in Sodom. Wait a minute. I thought it was not Jesus talking to Abraham, not him. The spirit that was in him was talking to Abraham. All right, we're closing it, the preview. I've got to give you some new stuff, haven't I? Now tell me, just out of the blue, we always read this and we say denomination. But I'm going to read this. But there is a devil, certainly. And people worship the devil, don't even know what they're doing. They worship the devil in churches, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man, creeds, and tradition. Isn't oneness a creed and tradition? Is it in the message? Well, then there are message churches worshiping the devil and don't know it. Of course, you don't believe in the message as the mark of the beast. And in the message, there is no serpent seed, is there? All the serpent seed is outside, right? And all ministers are born again. Is that what you believe, right? Or is that why all the churches believe different things? But if you've got one gene, you can't help but believe the same thing. That's guaranteed. That's guaranteed because you all my children shall be taught of God. And great shall be their peace, not their confusion. People are ignorantly worshiping Satan, thinking they're worshiping God. I wonder if that could be in a message. I wonder if you could come from a message church like that. No, my pastor is such a good living man. He can't do that. The four tricks of heavenly, of spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the four tricks. Don't forget them. The first trick is the Bible trick. The Baptist trick, sorry. The Baptists say, I believe, therefore I got it. What more can a man do but believe? I believe the prophet, I believe the message, therefore I'm a son of God. The devil believes and trembles and he's not converted. You know what it says? The next one is the Methodist. The Methodist say, look, you see, I live right. You can talk all you want, but I live it. I'm holy, I'm righteous, and I'm clean living. The problem with that, the foolish virgin lives right, and they don't got it. Isn't that right? And then, of course, we have the big one, the great one, and that's Pentecost. They say, brother, I don't care what you believe, and I don't care how you live, but these signs follow them that believe. Watch out, Benny Hinn, I'm coming. You must be a believer. Because there's nobody can have signs like those guys. That's Matthew 7:21. And the last one, Christian Science. Nobody can love like them. They can really love. They love what God does not love. Jacob, I love Esau, I hate. No, I love Esau too. Amen. I love Satan too. In fact, I can love better than God. That's the four tricks. But the true evidence of the Holy Ghost is you have a gene and it doesn't give you the ability to live right. You can live right without the gene. Foolish virgin proved that. I can't hear you. Is that right? But it gives you the ability to understand. Because if you don't understand, you're going to miss the mark. You're going to sin because you're going to misplace, dislocate, and misinterpret, and that's sin. All right, now, the question comes up now. This is the Jesus in Jesus. You see, I've got to do this, friends. I know I'm taking up background time, but I have to do it. If I don't do it, then when I put this other piece in here, it's just going to throw everybody wacko. And I don't want to do that. Jesus in Jesus. Now, watch carefully. Acts 2:38, Acts 2:34. It says here, "For David is not ascended in heaven, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool." Now the question is, the Lord said unto my Lord. Now, you know the wonders don't want you to use this scripture, right? I didn't write it, I promise. Sit on my right hand. Is that right? A right hand means power, authority, really what it means. Agreed? Okay. Now let's look at this carefully. You know it, I know you know it, but I've got to do this. Now, the Bible said no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. You cannot call this Jesus Lord. You've got to have a revelation. The Pentecostals say Jesus is Lord on bumper stickers. Right? Now, this is Jehovah. We know that. This is the one true God. Said unto my Lord. Now, the question is asked in Matthew 22 by Jesus. 42. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? So, once you're talking about son, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, he is David's son. Then Jesus said, well, why did David call him Lord? The reason David called him Lord is because David saw the vision of him at the cross suffering, compassed about by bulls. The bulls, they stare at me. Is that not David seeing that? David said, I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He saw him beyond the grave. Is that right? David saw him in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. He saw when God said, sit on my right hand. And if this man conquered dead, hell, and the grave, David didn't do that. God exalted David's son to sit on his throne. Alright? So that is why now you have to have a revelation. I'm going to give you these pieces here. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, how was Jehovah revealed? Was it not through this one Lord? Did he not come to reveal the Father? So the one Lord unfolds like this. You have one Lord who reveals the true God. All right? And from that one Lord and that true God, we have many lords, which is you and I. We are kings unto the Lord. You have one faith. Is that right? And that's faith. That's the faith in the Son of God. But if you have faith in the Son of God, then God confirms that faith by giving you, there are faith in the Son of God. He gives you the faith of the Son of God, which is the new birth, the gene in you believing. Not you, the gene in you believing. And then if you have faith in the Son, he's going to confirm that faith by giving you the new birth. And the new birth is the faith of the Son of God. And that faith grows into perfect faith. From that one Lord, it unfolds the three. From this one faith, it unfolds the three. What's the baptism now? You have the baptism. That's the water baptism. The water baptism is a prelude of the death, burial, and resurrection, and the promise of the Holy Ghost, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The new birth. From the water baptism, it's a symbol of your commitment, of faith, public commitment, and then God confirms that faith with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then the baptism of the Holy Ghost gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, which is your body change or new heavens and new earth. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, but all unfold in a plan of God. So then, why did he make him Lord? This same Jesus God had made Lord in Christ. Is that what it says? Surely God had made this same Jesus, whom you crucify, Lord in Christ. Five reasons he's made Lord. I said it yesterday. Anybody can give me one? He's a husband to the church. Sarah called Abraham Lord. Second, he is what? King. I made my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Three, overcomer. He's an overcomer. An overcomer. When he raised from the dead, he was made Lord. Fourth, Firstborn. Firstborn, and that's Genesis 27:37. Okay, the firstborn is made Lord and he's made his brothers Lord. So why do we call Jesus Lord? Why did Paul say, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ by the will of God? Because all sons must serve the firstborn. Is that right? Five, he's a high priest over the house of God. That's the five reasons why he is made Lord. But he cannot be made God. That's why you have the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's made Lord here. He's not this Lord. All right? So we got all of that. I think we got... Okay, now one more. So he's made Lord in Christ. Quick scriptures. Which Lord is descended in 1 Thessalonians? This one or this one? Brother Grace, that's only Grace you say that all the time. All right. So now you have the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have my Lord Jesus Christ. That is why you have to have revelation to call Jesus Lord. Because if you call him this, you got a problem. Right? So in 1 Thessalonians it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Which Lord? He is made Lord in Christ. Revelation 10:1, a mighty angel come down from heaven. Page 74, the prophet of God said that is Christ. Which Christ? The one who was made Christ or the one who made him Christ? Okay. Good. So you have the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's take the three definitions here now. God manifests in a pillar of fire. God manifests in his Son. God manifests in you. The same Holy Spirit that was in the dispensation of fatherhood. Jesus was dispensation of sonship. And this is the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Notice there, a little while the Father, as he went on, God making himself known through fatherhood, through sonship, through Holy Spirit. So the word baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the key words here, brothers, is that these are not persons. The Trinity said these are persons. The prophet said they are not persons. They are not nouns. Nouns is the name of a person. That's not nouns. This is called dispensation or office. Right? So these are not nouns. So it was the pillar of fire of God in Moses in fatherhood. Then Moses died. And a prophet like me shall God raise up. The pillar of fire moved in Jesus on the Jordan. That sonship. All right. Jesus goes on the throne. Pillar of fire comes on the day of Pentecost. Is that right? In the church. That's Holy Ghost. So this word Holy Ghost does not mean the Spirit of God. It is not the Spirit of God. So I'm asking you, how many gods were you baptized in? One God? One God in three dispensations? Notice, not one Son of God. One God in three dispensations. Well, he is not God. So the one God is this one. So which Lord Jesus Christ were you baptized in? The Lord Jesus Christ the Father or the Lord Jesus Christ the Son? Now I ask you, he said you've got to get your Godhead straight now before you get your baptism straight now. I ask you, did anybody ever ask you which Lord Jesus? They will never ask you that. Because they were oneness who baptized you. Now, if Godhead is just revealing in this age, will not the water baptism go along with the new revelation? Or is there only one Lord Jesus Christ to be baptized in? Or you have to have a revelation of which Lord Jesus Christ? He says, one God. You see, in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This is the name of that one God. That is not the one God you're baptized in. You must accept him as your Lord. You must believe that he died and God raised him from the dead. You must accept him as Lord, that God, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that God had raised him from the dead. But when you are baptized, you're calling upon his name. Like the Old Testament, calling upon the name of Jehovah. Again, there are three dispensations: Father, Sonship, Holy Spirit. Three. Everything is three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The same God that was under dispensation, that dispensation is under dispensation, is under that dispensation, will be the same. Only one God, not him. Not this Lord Jesus Christ. This one God. Then that's what you were baptized in. If you were not baptized there, brother, you were not baptized right. So the same with God the Father. Let Moses call God the Father. The three dispensations, Fatherhood, Sonship, and Holy Spirit. It's just three offices of the same God. Tonight, his office is here on earth, his church as the Holy Spirit. All right. I'm only doing two pieces. This is new material, and I need to do it if you don't mind. Acts 2:34. It says he has made him Lord and Christ. Is that right? I ask now. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is the Lord causing us any problem? Does this Lord here means God? No. It's not a problem, right? Continue. Let's see. It gets a little bit more tricky. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So when we say Jesus Christ our Lord, we are not saying Jesus Christ our God. We are saying Jesus Christ, amen, whose servant we are. I'm going to prove it in a minute. 1 minute. Just give me a minute. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, notice God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this Lord Jesus Christ is not, we're not talking about God. Acts 5:30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he crucified, hanged on a tree. Now, let's look and see now. He's made Lord. Him God exalted with his right hand. His right hand means authority, power, right? To be a prince. Isn't a prince a leader? Isn't a prince a lord? Isn't a prince revealing that there is a king? So the titles of the Son, reveals God. Amen. If he is a prince, he is a king. Amen. And you don't give a stranger to be your prince. You give your own sons to be princes. Amen. Watch again. And a savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness. We are witnesses. All right, watch again. And kill the prince of life, not the king of life, the prince of life, whom God raised from the dead. Watch again. I have set my king upon my holy hill. So God has set a king over Jerusalem. Who set David over Israel? It was him. So another way of saying Lord is king. Another way of saying Lord, he's made him Lord, is saying prince. All right? He says, show me in the Bible, brother. And God sent me before you to preserve you as posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, he had made me a father to Pharaoh. Joseph is saying, God made me a father to Pharaoh and his nations. God. Now notice what he said. God made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord over all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh didn't make me. God made me. Right? What's Isaiah 9 and 6? Now let's see what's revealed here. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice. This is exactly what God did to Joseph. The zeal of Jehovah the host will perform it. And I will clothe him with thy robe, just like Pharaoh did to Joseph. I will clothe him. I don't know where I am. I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. I will commit thy governor to his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. All right. And to Judea. And the keys of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So shall he open and none shut, and shut and none open. Now, watch what I want to show here in Isaiah 9 and 6. Jesus came to declare the Father. Is that right? To declare God the Father. John 17 and 6, he declares, he said, Father, I have manifested thy name unto those thou hast given me. So what does the Son declare? How does he manifest the Father's name? Well, the Son, first of all, he said, a son is given. Who gave that son? God. Is that right? The second thing, a government. If God gave him a government, he's going to be a ruler over a nation or a people. Second, that means he's going to make him Lord, like Joseph. Third, a prince of, he calls him here, prince of peace. If there's a prince of peace, he's declaring there's a king of peace. Who gave him the kingdom? God. Right? Who brought forth a son? God. All right? Now, who did, he said, you shall be, your name shall be called Wonderful. Not that you are. But he's a miracle worker. Who did the miracle? God. Right? He's called Mighty God. Now, that is not talking. He's a mighty God, meaning he's a mighty prophet. To reveal the mighty God. Or the almighty God. In other words, these scriptures are tied up with Godhead, but they have compound meanings. You can talk about the Son of God, or you can talk about God, because the Son is declaring God. If I'm a prince, my father is a king. If God give a son, God is the father of the son. Amen. If I'm going to give him a government to be on his shoulder, amen, I, Pharaoh, give him to be Lord. He's revealing God indirectly. All right. You say, Brother Tony, can you prove that? All right. Just one second. Listen, Jesus, the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet unto me. Was that Jesus? 18:15, right? Jesus was a prophet. That was his ministry, right? Watch carefully. Jesus answered and said, is it not written in your law? Now hear, listen himself. Now hear himself, being the Son of God, he said, I said. Now watch who the I was. I said, see the pronoun in it? I said, ye are gods. Ye yourself are gods. Is it written in your law that I said ye are gods? You see, back to God again. They couldn't understand. One time it was God speaking. Next time it was Jesus speaking. He was dual. When he said, I say, have I not I said ye are God? That was not the Son speaking. That was God saying, have not I said in the word, ye are gods? So God is speaking for his Son. He said, have I not said that ye are gods? Who the word come to? And this is my Son. So what do you think he is? He is God. But he is a G-O-D like that. So this Lord is a G-O-D, a mighty one. He is the Almighty. You say, but Tony, I'm frightened. You're going somewhere frightening. Okay, wait a minute now. Don't get too far me. Okay, listen carefully now. Let's see if this be true. The word had to come to from Moses first. See, Moses had the word. Where it was written by God, nobody can interpret them. Moses had to interpret them first. That's the reason he veiled his face. Because he, do you see it? See, here it is. Brother Branham picks up his Bible. We pick it up. And everything else there is, it's got to be revealed. In order to reveal, Moses had to become God to the people. Amen? If... to reveal God, Moses had to become God to the people. When Jesus is to reveal God in a way that Moses could never reveal God, what do you think the Son has to do? Isn't a messenger and a message the same? All over again. You say, that's nonsense. I'm not saying that, Brother Branham is saying. You say that's nonsense. Why he told Moses and said, you be God and let Aaron be your prophet. See, so there you see, he had to veil himself because God is always behind a veil. Do you see it? God is hid from the public. Said, Father, I thank you for you have hid it from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes. So Brother Branham is quoted. Now, continue. The true word, God wrote it, and it was with Moses. Notice, it was with Moses and was already to be manifest. He was the word to them. He was the living word hid, veiled himself. Moses had to put a veil over his face. Why? He was the word. Until the word was known, Moses had to veil himself. Do you see it? Whatever the word is, it's veiled. Moses had the word. Now remember, after the word was made manifest, Moses was Moses again. See, but while the word was in him to give out, he was God.
Amen.
Well, he wasn't Moses no more. He had the word of the Lord of the age. Amen. Now watch Jesus. He's the fullness of the word. Is that right? So now, what are you going to call him? Mighty God, meaning mighty prophet. He's greater than all the prophets. That's what Paul is saying. He has a better blood. He has a better ministry. He has a better testament. He has a better name. Right? Prophet. All right. Are you with me? You're going to probably shock with this, but if God, Brother Branham, is revealing God, guess what he was? And I told this man the other day when in this piece that he had out here, and this man being healed, the same minister said, they make a God out of you. See, Jefferson put a lowercase g. Out of you, Brother Branham. Well, he was a critic. I thought I'd just kind of break it off just a little bit. Not to hurt, you know, but just... I said, is that too far from the scriptures to be that? I said, no, it isn't. I said, because Jesus called prophets gods. See, that's right, God. And they said, well, you people try to take the place of God. That's not too far out. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly God manifest in flesh, just as he promised. All right, I'm going to close it up with this here piece. Moses was God to Pharaoh once. Ye are gods. You are son of God and you are gods too. Did you know that? Did it not say in your law ye are gods because you are attributes of God? Alright? That we are in an amateur way gods. He said that we are prophets. He said if he called them gods who the word of God come to, then why not himself being the son of God? When he makes himself equal with God. Alright. I might have the notes here. Let me do it. So in your Bible now, I'm going to read a scripture for you. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. He is calling the Son, O God. Thy throne, O God, is forever. I'm going to read it again. You see, anytime you don't know and you use the word God, you think it's something. There are many, all prophets were called gods. Follow again. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hate iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God. Amen? Even God, thy God. How many gods do we have? One God, almighty, if you know the revelation of one God, but he makes his prophets to be God so they can clearly reveal him. Any problem? Okay, so when it says mighty God, the mighty God or the mighty prophet, mightier than Moses, to reveal the almighty God. The one true God. Amen. He's counselor to reveal Almighty, the wise one. That's why he said, I manifest thy name unto them. He is not called. He's called those things to reveal God. Just like the Joseph and Pharaoh. And Joseph said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this man in whom the Spirit of God is? Notice now, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 9 and 6, Isaiah 61. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God had showed thee all these things, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall my people be ruled. And only in the throne will I be greater than thee. Yeah. Look at the book of Acts now. We're looking at the word Lord. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Is that so hard to believe? He's our Joseph, and God has placed it all. When you think he is Lord, he is Lord. You got to know he is your Lord, because God set him up to be your Lord, but he's not your God. You have to sing those songs with revelation now. Otherwise, we're right back to another oneness.
Amen.
Your revelation of God, amen, has to have new songs. We have to have new songwriters.
Amen.
And the musicians in this day don't want that. They like the lamb. Amen. We want the original owner.
Amen.
The one that sits on the throne who is the original owner.
Amen.
That's the one we want. The one who bring the title deed to us. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. That says, sit on my right hand. That's what he's saying. You see? Just like Philippians 2 and 8. And Pharaoh took off his ring of his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put gold around his neck. And he made him to ride in a second chariot. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all. Is that not Philippians 2, 8 and 9?
Yeah.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not God, to the glory of God the Father, O Pharaoh. Amen. We are not making these things up, brother. Watch carefully again. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up a hand or a foot in all the land of Egypt. In other words, if they don't ask it in your name, they'll never get it.
Amen.
If you ask the Father anything in my name, I'll do it.
Amen.
Is that right? You've got to ask in his name, otherwise God will not do it. Amen. Watch Matthew 28:18. All power, both in heaven and earth, is given unto me. That's authority. Isn't that happening in Genesis 41:44? They did not say to Matthew 16:60, in my name they shall cast out devils. Is that right? Is that not under the name of Joseph? Watch 1 Peter 3:22. Can we put 1 Peter 3:22 up? I know I'm keeping you long, but I'm hoping that you're learning something. I'm hoping your Bible has become a new book. I'm hoping this is a night like Paul. I hope nobody dies. Who is gone into the heavens and is on the right hand of God? Watch now. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject. Nothing could happen. Amen. But no man could lift a hand or foot in the land without you, Joseph. Isn't that the same? Watch again. Acts 4:26, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his Christ. Now, who is the Lord there, and who is his Christ? You have to have a revelation to call him Lord. You've got to know. The Bible is written in such a way. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Who's that? This Lord or this Lord? You've got to have a revelation. Which one? Well, this is the only one who could reveal the secrets of the heart. So that's Son of Man there. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 is Son of Man. Luke 21:27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in cloud, power, and great glory. The Son of Man in power comes in two signs. Which one is the Son of Man coming? Him or him? So shall he become behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This word coming is the word revealing. It's not the word to come. It means to unveil. This is the revelation of waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is that? Waiting for Son of Man to reveal himself in the form of a prophet. That has nothing to do with him. That's him. Do you need a revelation of Lord? 1 Thessalonians speaks himself. Okay, let's read this one. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away the tears from your eyes, and rebuke his people, shall take away from the earth. For Jehovah hath spoken, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. That's the day we're speaking of today. This is our God. This is the only day we can say, who is that photo there? Who is that photo there? This is our God. We have waited on him. Seven church ages was waiting. Now he has appeared. And he will save us. This is Jehovah. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And today is the day of redemption. Who is this? Unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel. Does he have angels?
No.
Who does the angels belong to? Taken vengeance. Who can take vengeance? Him or him? Who is the judge there? Is the Lord Jesus revealed with his mighty angels? Which one? Okay, he's made Lord in Christ. So he says, who is he that condemned it? It is Christ that died. So this word Christ is the Son of God here, isn't it? Even at his right hand. Romans 8. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ. So Jesus here is the man. Christ here is the man. I want you to watch the language. Because the word Christ has many meanings. So I'm going to give you a couple of them. In Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what the riches of his glory of his saints, glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Christ is the gene. That's the gene of God. If the gene is not in you, you have no hope or expectation of adoption. Glory is adoption. I know I don't have time, so I'll do it quickly. Colossians 1:27 is the gene. If you have the gene, you have hope of glory. Doxa. This word glory is 2 Peter 1:17. Where he said, he crowned him with glory and honor. What is that? Adoption. You have no hope if you don't have the gene in you. All right? Okay, here's again. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. How does Christ live in him? Baptism of the Holy Ghost, which gives you the faith of Christ. Not faith in Christ, the faith of Christ. Now, the way Christ is used again in Galatians 4:19. Little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. This Christ be formed in you is not the man Jesus, it's not God himself, it's the character of Christ being formed in you. And that's 2 Peter 1:4-8. This here is 2 Peter 1:4, the new nature, divine nature, partakers of his divine nature. All right? That's also Romans 8:28. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son. This is the image. I'm going to skip these. I think you get it. Ephesians, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That is, that word Christ there is not talking about the gene, it's not talking about the character, it's talking about the revelation. Revelation of the hour must be in your heart. If you got the gene, the word will be in you, and suffering will bring out this character. Three different word Christ, not the same. I showed you Christ the man. Now, I'm going to show you one more. This scripture here, choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Which Christ is that? Somebody take a guess. Which Christ is that? You have Christ the gene, Christ the character, Christ the revelation, you have Christ the man, right? The anointed, Christ the anointing or anointer. Which Christ? This one. The anointing, the anointer, which is God himself. He made him. You've got to have the revelation. Hear what he says. Now we all know that the angel of the covenant, that the pillar of fire was the angel of the covenant, which was Christ. Do you believe that, you brethren? We believe that. Ministers are sure. He was. Moses forsook Egypt, esteeming the reproaches of Christ, greater treasure than that of Egypt. See, now that was Christ in that pillar of fire. Now who was in the pillar of fire again? God. Jehovah is the veil. That was with Moses. I'm almost done. Notice the title, Christ Identified for All Ages. Is it talking about this Christ, the one who was made Christ, or the one that was in all the prophets? God manifested in all ages. But what's the title? The Identified Christ for All Ages. God manifested in all ages. It's always been. He has hid himself behind human flesh. It's God in you. A little while you will see me. No, you shall see me. This is the Christ. Christ seemed to be a dual personality. He would speak sometimes and he'd scratch your head. Now this Christ is talking about the Son. He didn't understand him. He'll speak one thing, look like something else or the other. What was it? Jesus speaking, then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man. Christ was the God that was in him. Well, then it would have been Christ that was in the pillar of fire would have been God. That's the one Moses saw. All right? And you could go on and on and on. I realize that we killed the time, but I pray that you will begin to see that these things are not something we fabricate, friends. We are living in Bible times. And once this begins to open up your eyes and you begin to read your Bible and your message, it's like when you first came to your message. It excites you, it re-energizes you, and it makes you want to go back to the prophet messenger. Amen. The Bible has become a new book. I know I've kept you long. God bless you for your efforts. David said, I will not give unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. You certainly give a lot tonight. And may God richly bless you for it. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you grace. Thank you.
When the musicians come along. Amen. I'm sure you've been blessed tonight. Amen. Amen. It's a strange thing that we're living in times like this where people do not want to learn about God. You know, whilst we're preparing for these meetings, a lot of effort has been put into it. Many people ask questions, but you know, why do we need such deep things? Because we've been preaching the subject for over 8 years in our church. Why don't we just love God and why is the message so complicating? Why can't we just read the books? Does the message have to be complicating? Let's see what Brother Branham says, okay? Now, I was trying to explain something to my wife about it. I had Becky, my daughter, with all the different types of dictionaries and things that we could get. They don't give the answer. I got the Bible dictionary. I got the old Greek dictionary. I got the Webster's. And many other modern dictionaries, none of them could even give the words or answer anyway. My wife said, how do you expect our people, which are poor people, and many of them uneducated like we are, to understand such as that? You have the same problem today. You find, I mean, right now, there were emails circulated whilst we were preparing, a minister saying, how can a woman who's washing clothing can understand such a complicated message that we're preaching at Kenville Assembly when Brother Tony was bringing it out? Let's see what Brother Brandon says. Okay, let's come down. I said, God will give the answer. No matter how complicated it is, God can break it down and make it simple. See, that's the truth of the matter. You find that many a times, look, many of you might know, I've never come from a Methodist church. I come straight from a denomination. I never sat under anybody's ministry. And that is why I've seen something that unless we go into it and study it and sit under ministries that can help one another, we're going to miss out on many things. One of the experiences I had over the 8 years preaching the subject is that a minister came in between the services and he says, well, this church believes in two Jesuses. But the question is, I didn't bring that out. Brother Tony didn't bring it out. And people that I did not even know began to start phoning me from Pretoria and Randburg and so forth. Brother Louis, I heard you got two Jesuses. It's because people in the ministry don't study. They don't want to bring it out. All we are hearing is a legalistic doctrine. How people should rest and how they should live. They're not placing it upon God, what God is doing for you. They're placing the responsibility upon man. You know, many times people ask, but what about the son? Tomorrow morning, Pastor Tony will be doing the subject on about honoring the son and worshiping God. Right now, we've got believers streaming in from Dubai, Trinidad, United States of America, Namibia, Cape Town, Ghana. Throughout the world, God has got a bride that is thirsting for the true word. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you want to go back, we've placed them on the stream as well. You can go back, download it, search it out. It is so important to know the God that we serve. Because if you don't know the God that we serve, I was telling Pastor Tony, when I was in the denomination church, I was second in charge. And I did not know Brother Branham, just for the benefit of those who don't fellowship here. I did not know Brother Branham was not accepted as a prophet. So when the brother shared with me, I preached it. And I didn't know that was going to happen. And they decided to throw me out. And they said, listen, you know what? We'll give you this church if only you will stop preaching the message of William Branham. And so we decided to leave. And when we came out, do you think that I would go back to two gods? Because we left a church that believed in three gods. Do you think we're going to go back to a church that believes in two gods? No. But we believe that God has been favored, His favor has been upon us to bring these truths, to bring ministries that can help us to see that there are quotations there, that there is a God who has a son. Amen. That's what we believe. And the son has taken on the father's name. And that's the God that we worship. That's the God that we glorify. That is Sunday Streams Go, spoken word. If you have any questions have been coming in. Send it to info@spokenword.co.za. And Pastor Tony will see how he can maybe tomorrow evening look at the question. One of the questions, I put it up now, was answered with a quotation. God will break it down. No matter how complicated it might be. If the ministry is called of God, that ministry will help the bride. That's how it is. Or else, Brother Brown says, they will just confuse the people. And even when the people hear or read the messages or read the books, it will not make sense. But we appreciate the Lord tonight for Brother Tony. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. The Lord is... It's not a popular way to serve the Lord. You'd find, you know, I had the privilege of traveling with them in some of the countries, and even there I've seen it's the same. It's not widely supported because it's one in a million that believes and comes to know this true God. I trust the Lord will bless you and undertake for you in a special way, that God will just bless your family. Amen. And you'll pray for the meetings. That's tomorrow morning at 10:30. The meetings will be back again at Kimball Assembly and tomorrow evening at 5:00. Do spread the news. Those people that cannot come here because of transport can catch it on live streaming. Let's all stand together. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. shall not live by bread, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ask our dear Pastor Joseph Kalinga to thank God tonight for the ministry and the Lord's blessings upon our lives even as we leave. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. You may take your seats. Thank you for coming together. Also, the ministers and the believers from the different assemblies, God richly bless you. And also the believers on live stream as well, God bless you. Till we meet again, God be with you. Till we meet again.